In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to be looking today at the 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And when we get there, we'll see the theme. The first part that I've been doing, starting last time, was on faith and culture. And I'd like to go on with that because I think it's very important, especially now when we see the tension between the direction of the country and faith. And so how do we bring our faith to heal the culture? Well, we have to have it first so that faith is inspiring our culture. And that's why we have as our little motto for this whole discussion, that remark of John Paul II, that faith which does not become a culture is a faith which has not been fully received, completely embraced, or thoroughly thought through. That means every family has to have its Christian culture. Every parish and every person has to have a Christian culture. And the motor, the drive, you see, is this whole idea. So we're looking now at and I'm going to pick up and overlap a bit from what I did last time on the regard to, well, what is a culture? What is culture? So I'm going back a bit to where we were last time to redouble that and then move on. This is now a quote from Gaudium et Spes, number 53, about culture. Gaudium et Spes, as you know, I think, the other name for it, the popular name, is the church in the modern world. What are we doing in this modern world? How do we preach the gospel? You have to talk to the culture. But we don't have to capitulate to the culture because it's wrong in many ways. Okay. Man comes to a true and full humanity only through culture. That is, through the cultivation of the goods and values of nature. Wherever human life is involved, therefore, nature and culture are quite intimately connected with one another. The word culture in its general sense indicates everything whereby man develops and perfects his many bodily and spiritual qualities. So it's the way that a human being develops, grows, is culture. Culture, cultivate, they come from the same root, since they're just aspects of the same word. He strives by his knowledge and labor to bring the world itself under his control. Doesn't mean he dominates it for his own convenience, you see. He understands it and directs it for the good of all. He renders social life more human, both in the family and in the civic community, through the improvement of customs and institutions. Throughout the course of time, he expresses, communicates, and conserves in his works great spiritual experiences and desires. You know how ennobling it is to walk through a good art museum, to hear a beautiful concert. You see, these things ennoble us as persons, and they are a gift from God. Most culture is involved with cult, that is, the practice, the worship of God. Beautiful churches, beautiful art. For a while, almost all of this. I remember reading a book years ago about the history of art. This man was saying, in the medieval world and beyond, for a while, an artist was considered community property. Hey, build this thing, fix this for us. You know, he belonged to the community and he served the community. The model of the artist being this long-haired fellow hidden in the garret of a house, misunderstood, eccentric genius, that's a romantic idea. No, he was a person with great vision and great culture and great capacities, and he was the expression and property of the community, and he grew from having those deep bonds with everybody else. You see, it's different than what we think of. Okay. So you see, he can take those great spiritual experiences and express them. All right, the other word besides culture in this consideration is faith responsibility. All right, now what is faith responsibility? The challenge briefly expressed by John Paul II in that phrase we've already quoted is to so live and experience the divine realities mediated to us by the Church that they achieve a cultural expression. Again, that phrase that we've been using, is a faith which has not become a culture. And that's why, you see, when people come to, like, America, and they bring their cultural expressions of faith, whether they be Middle Eastern or Slavic or French, or they enrich us. When they lose them, you see, it's a loss for all of us. And so that's what he's saying here. Okay. The first step in enabling a culture of faith to become culture is to look at our own cultural environment in order to understand where it impedes and where it furthers the full cultural expression of faith among ourselves. Look at the potential that television could be. And look at the way it degenerates our culture. I mean, as I think I've said before, I don't own a television. I threw one mine out about 10 or 15 years ago, and I've never missed it. Except once in a while, watch the Super Bowl or something, but it's corruptive. But imagine, there are some good programs on there, but they're so few and far between that it's not worth having, I think. If you want those few and far between, go get a ticket to the opera or a good play or to a singer or whatever, okay? Not only the great classics, but even good modern culture, which is important, you see. After all, our own minds are the first modern audience to which we must address ourselves in assessing the relationship between faith and culture. What's your experience? What is your family life like that expresses a culture? Do you have feast days? You know, are there things associated with them and birthdays? Little things that make up your family culture. People are used to and they express and they ennoble and they bind together, you see? Because our own minds are the first ones to whom we have to address this issue of faith and culture. The second step is to effect a correlation between our culture and the faith of the Church, allowing a faith vision to engage the culture and take up into the gospel all that is true and positive in the culture while correcting or even rejecting those aspects that can be seen to be false in the light of faith. So what is there, as Americans, what is there that's positive in our culture? Basically, there's a sort of a sense of the dignity of the little man. Now, that's exploited, and there are people making billions of dollars and others hardly able to support their family, and that's wrong. But underlying that, still there's that respect. The whole series of movies being put out by a Baptist church in the South, Taking on the Giants and all those, where you see this dignity and heroism of the little man. That's one. You see, another is fairness. Another is honesty. Now, we're losing these things. But if we continue to work with them, another used to be respect for life. But as you can see now, as that respect for life has gone, the whole culture has sunk to a very low level. Not just the killing of infants. Life is cheap. Here in Washington, where I live, some years ago, one teenage boy killed another in a fight over basketball shoes. Because death is the solution to every problem. That's the culture of death that John Paul II used to talk about. Okay. Now, here is an address to the Pontifical Council for Culture. John Paul II founded a Pontifical Council for Culture. This is what he said in the opening address he gave to them. Therefore, it is in the name of the Christian faith that the Second Vatican Council committed the whole Church to listen to modern man in order to understand him and to invent a new kind of dialogue, which would permit the originality of the gospel message to be carried to the heart of contemporary mentalities. This is the first step. We must then rediscover the apostolic creativity and prophetic power of the first disciples in order to face new cultures. That is the second step. But it's not like an advertising campaign. What's going to really sell this, you know? It's understanding in faith, where are the aspirations that are good and noble? There was a huge rock concert in London a few years ago, and it was all to raise money for the Third World. That was a good thing. That should be encouraged. Not the rock part of the rock culture so much, if it got into like heavy rock and the rest, but the notion that musicians and other talented people would put on a show and people would pay to come and see it, and all that money didn't go to the artists, it went to the Third World. That's a beautiful aspect of our culture. Okay. So now I wish to take the first step by analyzing a fundamental aspect of our culture, namely the source, the loss of the sense of transcendence and the corresponding isolation of each person as a thinking subject. Once there's no transcendence, there's nothing binding us. We're not looking at the same sunrise. You see, I got mine, you got yours. Not really, there's only one sunrise, but this isolation of the person. This is admirably, and I mentioned this last time, I think, illustrated by the now famous, believe it or not, Supreme Court decision in the case Planned Parenthood versus Casey. And I quote, believe it or not, the Supreme Court. At the heart of liberty, at the heart of liberty is not the capacity to improve oneself, to find God and rejoice in Him, to found a family and make it beautiful. That's not at the heart. At the heart of liberty is the right to define one's own concept of existence, of meaning, of the universe and the mystery of human life. I can have mine, you can have yours, and there's no touching yours and there's no touching mine. So what happens? Besides the fact that none of us are bright enough to have a total question answer, we're isolated. Can I ever have a dialogue with you about your idea of what life is all about? Can't you have one with me? Not unless we have something in common to talk about. So, as St. Thomas said, whenever you're in a discussion, especially, you know, one in which there's difference of opinion, find the thing you have in common and build from there. So where do we go to have that, you see? The result will be a turn to the person, that is, and a restoration of realism that opens the way to a more profound understanding of revelation, and thus to a faith which can become a culture in our own day. This procedure was adumbrated by St. Paul when he said in the letter to the Philippians, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." And we can see the earnestness and honesty of aspects of our culture and embrace it and praise it. So now, starting next time, we're going to look at the situation. Well, what is our actual situation? The first thing we're going to talk about is that there's a loss of transcendence. And I'm going to try to point out that the foundation for that is the work of the spirit of darkness, working with people who are not all devil worshippers, but they've been bewitched.